take it lightly. But I wish you'd just give me a few minutes this morning to let me preach to your heart. In Luke's Gospel, chapter number 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 16. I want to preach on where the man lifted his eyes in hell this morning. Used to, you'd hear a preacher preach on hell quite often. I guess I may be a little different than normal, but I don't have the mentality to know what we need. So I have to preach what God puts in my heart, my spirit. That which is talking to me on the inside the loudest is what I've got to mind Him with. The Bible said in Luke 16 and verse number 19, there was. And you better take this to the bank. There was. There was a certain rich man. He was clothed in purple, fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was. And you can take that to the bank. There was. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass that the beggar died and was. And you can bank on it, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You for the good week that You've given us. We thank You, Lord, that we can pray to You, our God, this morning, that can move mountains, that can open doors, that can send water in dry places, can stop the wind, the waves. Thank You, Lord, that You call the dead to life. But now this morning, I ask You, Spirit of God, to help me preach. And I pray that You would deal with lost hearts in this building. And Lord, if this message, whatever it's sent for, I'm just going to trust You with it. Because this is Your business. And I pray that You'd help us now. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask You, amen. And amen. I want to look in verse 23. Have you ever thought about how much that God loved us? Not only did He say, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish." We think a lot about that phrase in John 3:16. Seems like the highlight is "For God so loved the world." And no doubt that is one of the greatest highlights of the Bible. But you ever notice that He put the word "perish," which simply means destroy, destruction? A lot of people say, "Well, preacher, in this day and age, you mean to tell me that you still preach on hell?" Yeah, because it's in the Bible. And so here we find, as this story unfolds, by, I want to say, note the place that He daily lives. The place the rich man daily lives. You know, hell is a low place, because the Bible said that in verse 23, that in hell He lift up His eyes. Hell is a low place. You'll notice all through your Bible that they descended, or they went down. Hell, the Bible teaches us, is beneath. It's not this world in which we live, even though it is a world filled with chaos in this day and hour. But there is a place a whole lot worse than this old world. And the Spirit of God pinned it down as a place called hell. Now, the place that He daily lives, it is a low place. Look in verse 23. It is a looking place. He lift up His eyes. You know, a person dies without Christ. Then, you know, people think, "Well, I'll just go away and be by myself." But that's not the end of the story if you die without Jesus. Because the Bible tells us that this place that He daily lives, it's a low place, it's a looking place, and I want to say it's a very lonely place. I hear a lot of people saying, "Well, if I die and go to hell, I'll have a party." Honey, there's no party going on in hell this morning. There's no acquaintances that they're getting together and they're partying for all eternity. Hell is a lonely place. I can tell you why it's such a lonely place. Because your saved loved ones won't be there. And God won't be there. And I'm glad we can walk through some lonely places here, but I'm glad that God is here with us today. It's a low place. He lifted up His eyes. It's a looking place. It's a lonely place. And I want to say this as He lifted His eyes and looked. Let's notice what He's seen. You ever thought about what's going on in this rich man's life this morning? Not only the place that he daily lives, but look at the person He distinctively left. The Bible said in verse number 24, He cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." And in verse 23, the Bible said, "He seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." the person he distinctively left. Now in verse 20, Lazarus was a poor man. The Bible said there was a certain beggar named Lazarus that was laid at his gate full of sores. Lazarus didn't have nothing in this old world, but he had everything in the world to come. Now, this thing, the person he distinctively left, Lazarus was a poor man. But look in verse 20. Lazarus was a placed man. There was no accident that God had him laid at the gate at the rich man. It was there for a witness and a testimony. I wonder who God is putting in your path to try to get you out of hell this morning. You see, he was laid at the gate. In the providence of God, God had this gate especially set that this poor man would be laid there that he could be a witness to the rich man. I want to say that people don't die and go to hell because they're rich. They die and go to hell because they reject Jesus. Now, the place he daily lives, but the person he distinctively left. Lazarus was a poor man. Lazarus was a placed man. I wonder who God has placed in your life to bring you a witness of God. Lazarus was a promoted man. In verse 25, the Bible said that he's now in Abraham's bosom, restful place. Now, you search this Bible of its meaning of words. In this dispensation before Christ had ascended back to the Father, there was a place called Hades, or a place called hell. And to let you understand this, there was a paradise side. There was a very bad side. There was a gulf that separated these places. And those that were in the awful place could look into the good place. And those in the good place could look into the awful place. Now, Abraham's bosom. Now, we that are saved by the grace of God, that we've trusted Christ, we don't go to Abraham's bosom. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The book of Ephesians taught us that when Jesus ascended in the heart of the earth, or He descended, then He ascended and He led captivity captive. He released them out of Abraham's bosom and took them to the third heaven. Now, they're in heaven with Christ. But here the rich man is still in Hades, or he's in hell. The Bible teaches us that one day hell will be brought up. Revelation chapter number 20. And they will be judged and they will be cast in the lake of fire for eternity. So I don't want any confusion going on. There's no purgatory taught in the Bible. There's heaven or there's hell. I like what the preacher said this week. You don't have to go to heaven. And you don't have to go to hell, but you're not staying here. You're going to one of two places. You're going to heaven if you're saved, or you're going to hell if you're lost. So we see simply the person he distinctively left. Verse 24, look at the preaching he didn't listen to. Now, verse 24, he's in hell and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. The preaching he didn't listen to. I want you to look in verse 20. What about the witness at his gate? I wonder if the few crumbs that Lazarus received, I wonder, did the rich man ever see him pray? I wonder, did he ever look out of those gates when he got just a crumb, when he got a meager supply? I wonder, did the rich man ever see Lazarus praying and thanking God for what he had? Me and you better realize there are no accident. God has got us set by the gate of many people that's on their way to hell. And we better be giving a witness and a testimony every chance that we get. You see, the preaching that he didn't listen to, there was a witness at the gate. But watch this in verse 25. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And then he says this, verse 29. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Preaching does matter this morning. I want to say that God allowed a man to be set at his gate that was saved. We'll all have to agree upon that because Lazarus died and went to heaven. Rich man died and went to hell. Now, he asked Abraham to go to his brother's houses and tell him about that place. And he said, no. He said, it's no use in Lazarus being resurrected from the dead and go and tell them, because if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't listen to him. And I'm going to tell you this morning, preaching is still right. The Bible said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So in this man's life, God had sent a witness, God had sent a word. No doubt, there was the prophets that he had heard. Now, this man, no doubt, was a Jew. Abraham was his father. Through that generation, through that bloodline, there's no doubt the rich man had heard the reading of the law. Within the reading of the law, there was types of the gospel, all the way from Genesis to the book of Malachi, telling them that they could put their faith in God. Let me tell you today, people got saved in the Old Testament, got saved by faith, looking to the cross. But now in this dispensation, we're saved by faith, looking to that same cross. Not that Jesus is going to go to it, but Jesus has already went to it, and He died, and He was buried. But on the third day, He got up, and He's on the right-hand side of the Father this morning. And I'm telling you, God has sent you preaching in your life to get you out of hell. God sent this man preaching in his life because he knew about Abraham. So we see the preaching he didn't listen to. Verse 24, look at the pain that doesn't leave. Not only the preaching that he didn't listen, but look at the pain that doesn't leave. Verse 24, a lot of folks say, well, I'm just going to go have a party. No party in hell this morning. The Bible said, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Somebody said this, Brother Ken, God's a God of love. How in the world could God put me in such a place like that? God don't put you in that place. You put yourself in that place. God gave His Son to keep us out of that place. And you know, you that are saved by the grace of God, on your worst day, you're blessed. The pain that doesn't leave. Pain was unending for eternity. You know how long you think that life has been already, but could you ever imagine a life that's never ending? Eternity. Somebody said that one little bird from Bowden, Georgia could fly all the way to Panama City Beach, pick up one grain of sand and move that whole beach of Florida back to Bowden, Georgia. Ever how long it'd take that little bird to move that whole beach, it would only be a blink in eternity. Eternity's forever. But we that are saved, isn't that such a blessed assurance to know that we're going to get new bodies, new minds. We'll be able to enjoy Christ through all eternity. And I believe with all my heart, we'll enjoy each other. We'll remember the days that we've had together worshiping God. And I'm going to tell you one of the greatest things, one of the hardest things that's going on in hell this morning beside the pain is the memory of former things. You know, we that have had pain, we that are older, we've experienced pain, but we've always had this hope. And I want to say out of my heart this morning, I've always had that hope. Well, I'm going to feel better soon. When I'm hurting, when I'm sick, I've always got that hope that I'm going to get better. But you die and go to hell, you'll never get better. You see, there's the place he daily lives. The person he distinctively left. The preaching he didn't listen. The pain that doesn't leave. But then, look in verse 27. Look at the people he dearly loved. This he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. The people he dearly loved. I love my family. I'm a family man. I make no bones about it. I'm a church man. I love these kids. I told somebody yesterday or the day before, I said, one of the highlights that I get to experience in the ministry God has given me is the folks that I pastor, their children. How blessed we are. How precious they are. I love family. Do you love your family? The people he dearly loved. You'll notice that the rich man regretted. I thought a lot about the loved ones that I've lived with and been raised with that are not saved, have died. I've often wondered, what could I have said or done? Isn't this amazing? I'm just making a statement. I want you to listen to me about done, but this is an amazing thing. Isn't it truth that your family is the hardest to witness to? It's easy to witness to a man at the gas pump. Hey, bud, you know Jesus. He loves you, man. He died for you. Wish you'd come to church with us. But when you've got an uncle or a mom and daddy that's never been saved, it seems like it's hard to talk with them about it. But let me tell you what, it's worth talking with them about it. Because you see, the people he dearly loved, we see that he regretted, we see that he remembered. You die and go to hell without God. You keep your memory. Lastly, not only the pain that he doesn't leave, the people he dearly loved, but the prayer he desperately lost. In verse number 24, the Bible says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. I want to say this prayer that he desperately lost. Now, turn with me. I'm done with that text. I want to go to Psalms 34. And I want you to look in verse number 6. Psalms 34 and verse number 6. The prayer he desperately lost. The Bible says in verse 3, Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. David said, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him, were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble. This rich man died and went to hell, and he still prayed, but he couldn't get his prayer answered. Can I tell you this morning that in this age of grace, God would hear your prayer if you'd cry out to Him, Lord, save me. You know, people say this. I've heard a lot of times, especially when I was a young preacher, people really confused me about getting saved. They always said it had to be a formula that you had to do. But let me tell you the main thing you've got to do. You've got to receive Christ. Some people say things, some people don't say things, but it's a heart thing. And you'll notice the Bible says in John's Gospel, you must receive Him. The Bible said that He came unto His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Has there ever been a time that you received Christ? Some of you were probably like me. You were down a bad road, doing bad and terrible things that you're ashamed of this morning. But aren't you glad there was a time and a place when your heart turned to Christ? I remember at Sandy Flat Baptist Church one morning, August 1981, Brother Elmer Cason had come to my house on Saturday. When he left, something happened that had never happened to me. God stayed. And it began to trouble my heart and showed me that I was lost. That Sunday morning at Sandy Flat Baptist Church, I'll never forget, I was on the third end of the third pew. And I don't know what the preacher preached, but I can tell you what I knew, what was going on in me. I was lost and I needed Jesus. And when my foot did this, and this is all I said in my heart, not out loud in my heart, I said, Lord, save me. And it worked. You know why it worked? Because God is dealing with me. You young people, I want to say something as your preacher. Many of you are under safety. Young children are safe in the Lord. But when God begins to knock on your heart, open it up and let Him in by faith. You older people, I understand. I've joined the church, preacher. Well, I want to ask you this. Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? It makes a difference in your life. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus loves you this morning. And God loves you. God loves you. And we're in a gospel-hardened society. I understand that. But this is for somebody this morning. God loves you enough. He put His Son on the cross to keep you out of hell if you'd believe in Him. I wonder who God's put at your gate. I wonder who God has laid in your path to be a witness to you. I've heard this a lot through the ministry. Well, preacher, I would step out and I'd receive Christ and be saved, but what will people think? I can tell you what people think. They've been right where you are and they've rejoiced with you. Miss Sherrod, I asked you to come this morning. I want to ask you today. Do you want to be saved? I've heard people ask me this question through the years. Pastor, how do I know that God's dealing with my heart? Okay. Number one, do you realize you're lost? And number two, do you want to be saved? Then that lets me know that God's dealing with you. I wonder as Miss Sherry plays this morning. I wonder. It's just our church here today. Some here want to be here, can't get here. But there's people in this building today that loves you. What kind of preacher would I be if I stood before God and had never told people the truth? There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. If you trust Christ this morning by faith out of your heart, this Bible teaches me that He'd save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you call upon Christ this morning? I wonder, would you step out of your pew while Miss Sherry plays today on this altar? If you want somebody to come pray with you, I would grab them. They'll come pray with you. If you want me to pray with you, I'd be glad to pray with you. But I wonder this morning, would you come to Christ?